You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll talk about Mr. Baseball himself, legendary Milwaukee Brewers sportscaster Bob Uecker. First, an antibiotic-resistant strain of a type of E. coli bacteria has surfaced for the first time in the United States. This has caused some concern in the medical community and in the public as well. Joining us to talk about the situation and its impact on healthcare is Dr. Nasia Safdar. She is Associate Chief of Staff for Research at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison, and she's the Medical Director for Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics. Dr. Safdar, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about this case? It's gotten a lot of media attention, this new so-called superbug that's resisting one of those last resort types of antibiotics.
Well, I think there's a couple of features about the case that are very concerning. You know, one is that, of course, the presence of the gene that confers resistance to an antibiotic that we have been using more and more in recent years, because it was one that remained effective when other antibiotics had failed. And I think it tells us just how limited a time span an antibiotic has when it's being used more than it was in the past. Because it's not that colistin is a new anti-infective. It's been around since 1959. But because of its relative toxicity compared to newer antibiotics, it was hardly used until recently. And so now we're seeing the impact of greater antibiotic use on subsequent resistance.
And this is one of a handful of what people have called last resort antibiotics, the ones we keep using when the other ones, when bacteria get a resistance to all the other ones. How small is our toolkit getting now of these so-called last resort antibiotics?
Well, pretty much non-existent. I mean, if you have an infection now that is resistant to colistin and the other anti-infectives that are available, there really is no good option to treat it. It seems frightening, but it seems like a very real possibility now.
Yeah, this new detection of this superbug in the United States, this isn't, in a way, a shocking development. We've seen different ones pop up over time, but it's another bit of bad news in this ongoing long-term problem that we've been watching for some years now, right?
That's correct. I think that we had thought that perhaps colistin was one antibiotic just because we hadn't seen widespread resistance to it in all these years. We felt that perhaps maybe it wasn't as susceptible, but that no longer seems to be a safe assumption.
So can you talk a little bit in general about how antibiotics work and their targets, these harmful bacteria, develop a resistance to them, evolve a resistance to them over time?
Well, so anti-infectives are generally, you know, they're natural substances. They're found in nature, and they target a particular area of the bacteria. And over time, bacteria evolves to evade that target of the antibiotic. So if the antibiotic is targeting the cell wall of the bacteria, for example, they may evolve to have a different composition or structure of the cell wall such that the same antibiotic can no longer have an effect. And it doesn't take long before that sort of evolution starts to happen among the bacteria. Generally, it's always of concern, but generally it's of more concern if once the resistance mechanism has been formed, if it can be transmitted from one type of bacteria to the other. It's the transmissibility that is very concerning, because then it suggests that you can move the bacterial resistance components among different types of bacteria, and so then you lose a whole class of antibiotics with very little effort on the part of the organism.
So one kind of disease-causing bacteria evolves this resistance to a particular antibiotic, and just because of the way genes can move around, other potentially harmful bacteria could also end up with this resistance, just passed on from that other one?
That's correct.
Talking to Dr. Nasia Safdar about the discovery of another strain of a bacteria resistant to one of our last resort type of antibiotics, one of the last ones that was still working against that. So let's start to talk about solutions, Dr. Safdar. In a way, it seems like we're in this arms race. We're trying to develop new kinds of antibiotics. What are the prospects for that kind of research? I know some of that research is going on in the UW.
That's correct. I mean, I think there's some very innovative researchers at UW who are looking at novel reservoirs of potentially new antibiotics, such as marine life, for example. Most of the anti-infectives that have been looked at up until now, people have been looking at the soil and nature in that context, but there are probably other reservoirs, such as insects and other areas where we can find potentially useful anti-infectives. And I think the bottom line is that unless we find a good way to judiciously use them, no matter where we find them and how many we find, ultimately we will still lose the ability to have them be effective against infection.
So we'll develop new ones, and then the bacteria will catch up. Well, let's talk about that idea of, you call it judicious use. What are we doing, we, the world, I guess, doing with antibiotics that is making things worse than they could be?
Well, I think despite, you know, a lot of efforts in recent years especially, I think we still find that in the outpatient setting, antibiotics are often used for what one would usually consider to be viral infections. And so that's an area where one could target to not attempt an anti-infective for something where it's not needed and would not be effective. The other places is for animal use and agriculture. Anti-infectives are often used, and they're the same antibiotics that are used against humans, and so it's another way to promote easy and quick resistance on the part of the bacteria.
As I understand it, this new discovery of a superbug resistant to an antibiotic, people think it may be because this particular antibiotic was used in a lot of livestock. I think in this case it was in China. So this is a case where, yeah, if we use this antibiotic a lot among a livestock population, that could end up doing harm to us as humans as they develop this resistance.
That's right.
And let's talk about efforts to reduce that. Are you seeing any around the world, any successful efforts to scale back on the use of antibiotics in livestock?
You know, it's hard to say. I think certainly some countries have taken the lead in trying to stop antibiotics among livestock. I don't think that is a whole-scale, universal global effort at this point. But I think that if there's one message that we're getting from this most recent discovery of colistin resistance, it's that that effort needs to happen now, and it needs to happen not just at a local, regional, or national level, but really at a global level.
And let's go back to the doctor's office. You mentioned efforts to stop prescribing antibiotics when probably the problem is a virus, which would have nothing to do with the antibiotic. It would not be successful. I see signs in doctor's offices all the time. We've had this conversation on the show. Are we making headway? Are we prescribing antibiotics more appropriately in our among our humans now?
I think I would say we've made a little headway, but not nearly to the extent that it needs to be made. So even things like, you know, extensive education on the parts of for the providers and for the parents, because generally these are used in children with respiratory infections, seems to make a little decrease in the antibiotic usage, but not nearly to the extent that one would need to prevent resistance.
I want to look at hospitals for a moment, because obviously there you've got vulnerable populations, you've got people there with compromised immune systems maybe being exposed to different bacteria. Are there efforts to stop the transmission of these kind of antibiotics resistance diseases before they could take hold and cause problems? Are there ways we can cut that before we need the antibiotics?
Well, one important mechanism that hospitals many have, and those that don't should develop expeditiously, is the presence of an antibiotic stewardship program where you have a combination of an infectious diseases physician and a pharmacist and other supporting individuals, and they do a daily review to see what antibiotics are still indicated, which can be taken away, which can be moved from a broad spectrum to a narrow spectrum, and which are no longer necessary, so could be taken away altogether. So those are ways that I think are highly effective in reducing unnecessary antibiotic use in the hospitals.
Dr. Sufdar, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Nasia Sufdar of the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital and the UW Hospital and Clinics. She joined us to talk about a new strain of antibiotic-resistant bacteria.